Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Former United States Senator from Missouri, Jim Talent, foreign policy expert extraordinaire, is with us this afternoon. Hey, I got your and our mutual friend Dwayne Patterson coming up after 5 o'clock tonight. How about that? A little back to back here.
There's a real expert. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Dwayne, for a guy who's never actually like formally handled those issues, he sure knows a lot.
I love him. You know, it's funny about him, and I don't really often say this, because to me, Dwayne is the guy that writes at hotair.com, and you know, he's become a regular staple of my show. But I did not know he is Hugh Hewitt's Fred Bottomer. He's Hugh's executive producer. So he's got a Rolodex that would parallel Fred. He's a great guy, and I love his opinion. So we really have a great time on the radio, and he speaks fondly of you, Jim. I know that. But let's get to some of the issues here. And you know, it's funny, because maybe not so funny, the last few radio shows that I've done this week, I haven't really talked about Iran. There's been these other things. You know, we had the jungle primary. You have some of the other primaries. You got Graham Plattner, all this stuff. So where would you say that we are right now? Because the ceasefire, I guess it's holding, although I saw that Iran may have launched some missiles today. So maybe just give us a point of where you interpret this whole situation is right now.
Yeah, I think the president said, they asked him about the Iran shooting. He says, well, a ceasefire in that region means only a moderate level of violence. Something like that. Yeah. It was funny. You know, I'm glad you asked me, because I really think context here. I intended to give the context. Okay, so 2 years ago, the Islamic Republic controlled Syria through Bashar Assad, Lebanon through Hezbollah, Gaza through Hamas, and large parts of Yemen through the Houthis. They also had a very considerable arsenal of ballistic and cruise missiles, an active nuclear program. They were close to weaponizing a nuclear status, and they had a very vital military industrial base. And they were a major, major deadly threat to the United States and our interests in the region. And they don't have any of those things anymore. The threat has been reduced to a level. This is really important context. It's been reduced to the level of a manageable problem. Now, we'd all like the problem to go away. That could happen, because they're also at a weak point at home. And I think, but I think what the president is doing is transitioning to a policy where we constrain them and continue to punish them using economic power and diplomatic leadership. And I think that's what these negotiations are designed to achieve. Either we're going to get the baseline that Rubio talked about today, which is them opening up the strait, and then phase two discussion of the nuclear, of the enriched uranium they supposedly have. Or I think we'll go back to kinetic action, which has to include at that point, I think, forcing the strait open. That's what I've been waiting for, Mark, as you know, I think I've mentioned on the show before. But so that it's going to be one of those two things, I believe. And we'll see. Supposedly, according to the president, they are at least in the range of an acceptable deal. we'll see what happens.
So the president confirmed that he criticized Bibi during this phone conversation on Monday, saying that he was, quote, a little bit perturbed that Israel's military actions against Hezbollah in Lebanon were complicating the efforts to, you know, get a deal done. Netanyahu said in an interview with CNBC that he and the president occasionally have tactical disagreements, but remain aligned. So what are the tactical disagreements? And I guess that kind of goes to the issue of how, and he even said this, Bibi said, it's an open question on how the war should end.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the people who think Israel controls Donald Trump were probably nonplussed by that phone call, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're on a level of tactical or second or third tier issues where there is occasionally tension between Israel's interests and our interests. And this is one of them. Now, Rubio said today that we consider the issues with Iran to be separate from Israel's issues with what remains of Hezbollah in Lebanon. And that is our official policy. What I suspect is the president would like, he's not going to keep Israel from doing what they are going to do, which is disarm Hezbollah if the Lebanese government doesn't do it. Okay, but I think what the president was saying to him is, do you have to do this right now? I mean, let us get this agreement, if we can get the agreement, and then you can go back to doing this. But I would be very, very surprised if the president attempts to prevent Israel in the intermediate term from protecting its borders. And I don't think Netanyahu, he can't have a situation where northern Israel's under constant attack from Hezbollah.
So the president also confirmed that he called Bibi crazy in that phone call on Monday. But the other thing that jumps out here is the timeline is getting, expanded again. He actually now is remaining noncommittal about something that would, set a deadline for settling the conflict, and even said that the strait might be blocked through Labor Day. That's in September. That's very close to November in the midterms. Obviously,
this is not
just about politics. The president's made that clear. He's committed to ensuring that they don't ever have a nuclear bomb. But, Jim, the reality is the reality, and this stuff is getting way, way out there longer than I think people expected it to. And I, by the way, sense that some of the support is dropping off in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the politics are a lesser reason, but a reason why I'm wondering why we don't open up the strait.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I think. That's the answer to this. We're not going to leave Iran they're not in control, but we're not going to leave the Iranian threat big enough or perceived as big enough to keep bottling up the strait. Now, we are moving some ships out. Evidently, CENTCOM has confirmed that like 70 ships have gone out. They move out through the southern part of the strait. That's where we cleared a corridor for Project Freedom. So, no, I would agree with you. Now, on the other hand, when you're in negotiations, what you don't want to do is make the other guy think that you need a deal.
Yeah,
so if you say, oh, yes, we have to have this in the next 8 days or something like that, then you've given leverage to them. And Trump, in his DNA, he understands negotiations. So that's probably why he's saying that. I would be very surprised if this goes on that long, though. I think we're going to have to do something militarily, and we're going to have to open up the strait. I mean, I could be surprised, but I've been looking for that for some weeks.
So, they opened – one of the things that was kind of curious about last week is the internet was, I don't know, completely open, but they had shut it down quite a bit in the country, and I think it was open. I don't know if there's been any effect of that. We know that the blockade has been very effective, and, there's economic pain and pressure, but they also seem – I mean, my perspective is the Iranian regime, whoever it is that we're dealing with, right, they don't really care. I mean, wouldn't they be incentivized to kind of run the clock out on Trump?
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it depends on how bad they actually are being hurt. Now, the reports I read indicate, and this is just common sense to me, that their oil exports are down about 94%, and that is how they get all their revenue. So they're hurting right now. And they did open up the internet, and that's another question I'd like answers. Why did they do that? And I suspect that a signal was sent that a good faith gesture like that would be much appreciated by the United States. Because right. I can't think of any other reason they would have opened it up, particularly at this time. So, in this sense, it's sort of like we're throttling them. They're hurting or imposing costs on, in particular, Asia, but also to some degree here by threatening the Strait. So, again, Mark, I don't want to sound like Johnny One Note. The answer to this is to present them with a situation where we will open up the Strait and then we will also continue the blockade. So they lose and we don't. And
here's the thing. We go back to April 7th with the original ceasefire. And then he claimed that the Iranians had agreed to open the Strait. And now we're 2 months later here and there's no opening of the Strait. So, you know, some of the things that are coming from the administration too. And of course, I thought, because Trump's the kind of guy that does what he says, I'm shocked that there has not been more military action. I really am.
I am surprised as well that this has gone on this long. What he will say, of course, is he thinks we're very close to a deal. There are things here, in my opinion, that we don't know. When they started up, well, there's a lot we don't know, but there's some key things. When we started Operation Project Freedom and then stopped it after 24 hours, I have speculated that's because the Saudis and the Gulf states are afraid of attacks on their infrastructure. Okay, fine. So now we take another crack at negotiations and we give it a reasonable amount of time. That doesn't work. And then we just tell them, put your big boy pants on. We'll defend you. The Israelis will defend you. We're going in and we're going to open up the Strait. And that would include, by the way, a whole lot of kinetic action against on the coastline. As we're going to blow up a lot of things as we're opening up the Strait. So I keep looking for it, Mark. Look, I've said all along, the president, I think, has earned our trust because of his maneuvering and foreign policy. That doesn't mean that he's going to be immune from legitimate criticism if this doesn't work. So we'll see. But look, I'm looking for the same thing you are, which is time to apply the hammer to get them to agree to something that's reasonable.
Jim Talent, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I'll say hi to Dwayne for you here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.